Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of July 2nd. I'm John Gibson, and with me late on a Saturday night, really late, is Jim Allen. How's it going, buddy?
Well, I'm feeling very apologetic. My work kept me late, so I know John's not really a night guy. And he likes his early morning stuff. You know, he embarrasses me. He's like, if I wake up, something wakes me up at 5 in the morning, it seems. I've got a good morning from John. I'm going off to exercise. I'm going, man, dude, go to sleep and go back to bed.
Or, well, not necessarily in that order.
Not in that order, exactly. Hey, it's 4 in the morning. Cut me some slack.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's not quite that. If it were 4 in the morning, you would be, doing the show alone.
in that scenario, yes, I got it's you. 4 in the morning. Okay.
I got you. All right. Well, guys, there's a lot going on in the world, and it's nice to sit down and talk about baseball. So let's just get to it. On this week's show, we have a chat with Steven Moya of the Chunichi Dragons. We're going to talk about the Dragons. We're going to discuss power rankings in our mini track segment, and we'll continue our discussion on homers or juicy baseballs and deal with a little bit of high heat. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
All right, so I went out to Jingu Stadium on Wednesday and got to talk to Steven Moya, the first-year outfielder with the Dragons. He's from Puerto Rico. He's going to be 27 next month. And I went out there on the day that the Dragons ended up losing 7-2 to the Swallows. And, man, this guy is tall. I mean, I remember talking to Logan Andrasek with the Swallows, and he was like 6'7 or 8 or something. And Moya is 6'7 and some change, and he's probably about the tallest guy I've talked to since then. So we haven't done any Dragons, too, in a long time. I think the last time we had a Dragons player on was Anderson Hernandez, and that would have been maybe 2016.
Well, we had the coach on over the winter, so that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah, but we haven't done any Dragons players. That's correct. Yeah, we did.
Correct. Yeah.
We did.
Denny Tomori.
Denny Tomori. Yes, we had him on over the winter. So yeah. But as you'll hear, Steven's a fresh young player and seems to value his opportunity to play in NPB. He doesn't really have a position right now. That's the problem. I mean, he can't get on the field. Yosuke Hirata is the leading hitter in the Central League. And he's playing in right, and Diane Vicieto has seniority, and he's playing at first base, and Moya can't really play center field, and Zoilo Almonte is playing left, even though he's a DH, but he's hitting really great, so there's just really no place for him to, for Moya to get on the field regularly, so he's scrounging for at-bats, and that makes it really tough to have success. But, you know, he came to MPB because, like many guys, he was a free agent and he ran out of options. He had been playing with the Detroit Tigers and he became available. And he said that the Dragons really seemed interested in him, and they got him. He started the season on the farm. He came up in a series with the Carp the month before last, and he tore up the Hiroshima Carp in that debut series. He went 9-for-13. He had a 4-hit game with 2 doubles in his debut. And then he hit his only home run so far this season in the 8th inning of the middle game. And that was the difference in a 4-3 win and blah, 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 blah. He had a great start. His English is great. He has some personality that really comes through even in a second language. And he brings some life lessons, some philosophy, and some comedy in a really enjoyable talk. So let's take a listen to Steven Moya. All right. So you had a great debut with the Dragons. You know, that series with the Carp, you had a bunch of hits. How did you feel about that series?
I mean, I felt great because, you know, when you get that called up, you want to make that first impression, and it happened like that. I could, you know, have three really good games that I helped the team win, and I felt great.
Now, how did that time on the farm help you before you came up?
You know, I was at the end of, like, you know, the spin training games. They sent me down there. I just, you know, kept doing what I know how to do. I just keep, you know, hit and get better and know, like, the know the how the teaching Japanese part of this baseball works, like how they think, how they you know, how they do things, and I was trying to figure it out, and I thank God I was doing well down there, and they called me up, and I could keep up here too.
Now you're tall, you have long arms, you have kind of a long swing as well. So how do you adjust to the Japanese style of pitching?
You know, it's just, you know, you have to be patient. You have to be patient in everything in life. So kind of, and I just need to be patient, and when you get that ball, don't miss it. And that's the hardest part. Like when you really get that fastball or that pitch, like in the strike zone, just, you know, don't miss it. And that's when you are going good, you are not missing that pitch. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing bad, you actually swinging sometimes bad pitches, and when you get that pitch, you miss it too. And you know, at that time, like I just, you know, you wanna, you know, I was down there working my, as hard as I could, so I get my swing ready for those pitches, and you know, be ready for when they throw that pitch.
Now, how do you like hitting at Nagoya Dome? It's a beautiful dome. It has a good background to hit, but it's hard to hit home runs, and there's artificial turf. So how do you like hitting there?
I like hitting there because you know, you are not being hit by the sun all the time. But it's like a night game every time. Mm-hmm. And you actually don't know when you're playing a day game or a night game. Just because you feel sleepy, right, you know that it's an early game. But it's a nice stadium. It's a big stadium too. But thank God, I just have one home run there, or in the entire league yet. But you know, time will come that I will start hitting homers, and not even, it doesn't matter what park I am playing. But
yeah.
It's actually a big ballpark.
Yeah. Now, do you have an idea of how the ball carries there? Does it carry poorly for you, or do you think it doesn't carry very well? Or you don't know yet?
I think it carries well. I mean, all the ballparks here in Japan, I think the ball carries well. I haven't played in the Giants yet in their dome, mm-hmm. but I think the ball carries good enough.
Okay. Now, you have a lot of imported players. There's Viciedo, there's Dylan G, who might be coming back.
Yeah.
I haven't heard yet. There's Garcia and Martinez. So it's important to get production.
Yeah.
So you can stay up here. So how much pressure do you feel when you think about that?
I try to not to. It's hard, but I try to not pressure myself. At that point, when you say like, oh, I'm here and I have to produce, I have to be able to stay here. The more calm you stay in your head and your heart, the more, you know, things are gonna, good things are gonna come. And just try to, you know, go out there, work hard during practice, and go out there during the game, and try to not do too much. Not to do too much. I think that's the key. And sometimes, you know, because I want to stay here, and because I've been open down, and you want to, oh, I have to produce so they see I can. You know, I know I can. They know I can. I just gonna go out there, and whatever God's plan is for me, it's gonna happen well, or if not, I just gonna keep working. So that's kind of my mindset.
Now, how important is it for you to see a lot of the pitchers around the league and see them twice and three times?
Oh, the more you see a pitcher, the more information you can get from him. The more pitches you can see from him, the more opportunity you will have to, you know, get a base hit or a good at bat or a home run or whatever. So the most you see a pitcher, the most chance you have to have success against him.
Yeah, I hear
the same way for him.
Right.
Of me, if the more times he see me, and the more stuff he learns, information he has from me, and so it's a battle. It's a constant battle.
Always. So now this league is really tight. You guys won three games in a row, and suddenly you were in third, and then a couple of losses, and now down to last place. And I mean, it happens like that when the situation is tight. We haven't seen it this tight from top to bottom in a long time. I always say it's very difficult to win a game every night.
Yeah.
But how's your approach going into these games when the whole situation is so tight?
I mean, you want to win. You have, like, as you said, we won three games in a row, and then we suddenly have lost two, and it's hard. It's hard, but you just have to keep pushing it, because even if we lose in two games, we're still close. Everybody's close. So if we come back and win two in a row and three in a row, and we lose one and maybe win two in a row, we will be in a good spot. So I think the key is not to go crazy and just to keep working and keep driving and keep, you know, trying to go forward and forget about these two games and just move forward and think about today's game, not even tomorrow's game, because we don't even gonna know if we're gonna be alive tomorrow. So just focus in this, today's game. So one by one, I think we can accomplish good things.
Let's hope everybody's alive tomorrow. All right, now you guys have had a lot of starting pitchers and a lot of relievers. Do you remember all these guys, or do you just like try to remember the numbers, because they keep going, everybody's going up and down and in and out of the rotation?
it's hard. It's hard to learn all these names and but you know, I try sometimes to keep up. Sometimes I ask Viciero and Almonte, like, hey, do you know that guy's name? And they say, like, no. But it's hard sometimes, you know. You guys go up and down, and they say, like, no, I can't keep up sometimes. I'm kind of like a little bit better at it because I've been up and down too, so I know most of the guys, but not all of them.
Now, you play outfield and first base, and which do you prefer, and which one is better for you?
I mean, I never played first base before, this is my first time playing first base, and I was in the minor leagues here, and they said, okay, you're playing first today. It's like, what? I never played first base before, but you know, you just have to do what you gotta do. And I just said, okay, I do it. And I was called up as a first baseman, not as an outfielder. But I really like first base. I like first base, and in the future, I would like to, you know, keep doing it, keep practicing there, and taking some grounders, and just to keep myself, you know, in shape. So in case another opportunity comes, or in the future, I don't know. Now I have two positions. If I go somewhere else later in my life, in baseball, I can say I play first base and outfield. So I feel I still need a lot of work there. I still need a lot of experience, but you know, that experience comes with playing there. And hopefully, I don't know, in the future I can keep playing there. I like my outfield because I always play outfield.
Right.
But first base is an interesting base, and I like it.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the time today.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Steven. Thank you very much, buddy. I really appreciated that. That was fun.
Well, thanks for going out and talking to Mr. Moya, because I was curious about him, and I learned a few things. So.
Yeah. Well, we know his philosophy on life. We aren't guaranteed tomorrow, and don't worry about pressure, and he just sounded very poised, and I think that's the impression that he's that kind of player, and I'm hoping that he gets more playing time. But what kept rolling around in your head after you heard this?
Well, I guess, yeah, the Zen, according to Stephen Moy, I mean, be calm in your heart and mind, and be patient and not put too much onto your plate. I love that stuff. I mean, it was a somewhat of a philosophical approach to a very maddening profession. I guess one of the things I liked was the bit about defining hitting well and not hitting well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're hitting well, you see the balls you want to hit, and you don't miss them. And then when you're hitting poorly, sometimes you don't swing at them, and when you do, you miss them.
Yeah, or he said you're swinging at bad pitches, and then you get the good ones to hit, and you miss those two.
Sure, sure. And but of course, being me, my favorite quote, and I almost wanted to tweet this out the second I heard it was. Nagoya Dome, you don't know if it's day or night.
I love that too.
If you feel sleepy, you know it's a day game. And I was thinking, you know, that doesn't work for me. The only thing I know is that if I feel sleepy, it's time to make some coffee.
It's time to get an injection
more
of caffeine,
coffee.
Please. Yeah, I didn't know exactly how good his English was, so I didn't prep probably the best questions, but I really loved that response because that just came out of left field, so to speak, because he's letting us know that as a baseball player, these guys, you know, these Friday games, and then you get up early to play Saturday. And then you might have a long game on Saturday and you have to get up early to play on Sunday, even earlier in most cases, because the games are at 2 o'clock on Saturday and 1 o'clock on Sunday. And he's letting us know. Well, yeah, there was one other line he had in there where he said, well, you know, that sun's not beaming down on you. And that let me know that it's really hot. I don't think he likes the heat. I got the impression he doesn't like the heat and it's only going to get hotter. But,
well, the funny thing about Nagoya Dome is very often before the Dragons begin their practice time, and I don't know about the summer, but at least at the Japan Series time, about 1 o'clock, the skylight is open in the roof usually. The center of the Tokyo Dome is translucent, the very small section at the very top of the roof. And if you go there like 11:30 or noon, those windows are not shaded and the sunlight's beaming and it turns that thing into the world's largest convection oven. I swear, you'd be like, it's like they cook pizzas, you know, they bake pizzas in there all night and then they ship them out of there and okay, the pizzas are done, let's start the ball game.
Gosh, you know, and, I went there when they were building the thing. They let us in with my little paper when we were in Nagoya and we took pictures when they were building, and I don't remember that aspect. I've never seen that.
Yeah, well, it's up there and they don't have the air conditioning on full blast, but they do about just maybe a half hour before the practice starts, 1:30 or so. But it is, yeah, it's warm and even with the skylight open, you know, the lights are dimmed. It's still, I guess they do it to save electricity. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So when he said, yeah, the sun's not beaming down on you, that said to me, oh, these outdoor games at Nagoya Stadium where you play on the farm. Attractive is what I took out of that, but
I can go with that.
Yeah,
I definitely can go with that.
Yeah, but it's really hard with some of these guys. Like exactly what I said, I did see a YouTube interview with him, and I knew he could speak English enough to get an interview. But you never know how well. So I probably could have prepared some better questions, but.
I really like the one asking about his teammates, because this is something, you know, the players volunteer the guys' names they know.
Yes.
You know, oh, he's the funniest guy, or, you know, nobody comes, I'll also ask a player, you know, who's the funniest guy on the team? Who's the guy who keeps everybody in stitches? Who's the guy who's sort of the team leader? And they always say blah, 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 but the guys who come and go, and here's the thing, in Japan, it's really hard because not only are the names in a language that's not familiar with you, but because there's no restrictions on how often and or how many times a player can be sent back and forth between the majors and the minors.
Right.
That these guys can come and go 7 or 8 times a year.
Correct.
And so that's really a good question that it hadn't occurred to me before. Do you know your teammates' names? And I love the answer. Oh, well, I have to ask, you know, who's that guy over there?
Well, I love the fact, well, sometimes I ask, you know, Viciado, and he's like, no, I don't know either.
Hashtag high heat.
And like I said, well, some of the, like you said here, some of the guys who stick around or who are really good, they know. But you know, there's been, especially in the Dragon situation with some of these pitchers, number so and so is out there again.
Yeah,
because they can't remember the name.
I had a really funny thing. I haven't watched a lot of Dragons games, but I did watch two of the games against the Swallows, and I have a thing. There's a couple of dragons who have a very similar narrow angular faces, and they remind me of Hidenori Kuramoto, the former outfielder. I know Atsushi Fuji's always had that kind of a look, and Matayoshi,
right,
the reliever, is like that. And I'm going, what do they get these guys? Fukuda's like that too, and Masanobu Fukuda's got that face too.
There's
and I'm going,
cookie
like
cutter somewhere.
I know it's like what the dragons got at, like they got an account at Costco.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So and when he said, you know, I need to play. I really liked his attitude, because when he said, look, I need to learn to play first base, because, and at the end he said, I really like it. I think he likes any position where he can get on the field and get
Absolutely.
Some at-bats. And, you know, he made it, this is why I said he sounded philosophical. He said, look, I'm getting a life lesson here, whether I go on to stay here and have success or not. Mm. I've gained another position. I've gained a skill. I've added a skill that makes me more valuable. And
right.
and he also sounded very confident in that, well, I'm going to hit home runs. It's really not going to matter where I am, what park I'm hitting in. I'm going to be able to hit home runs when I get going. So
it almost makes you want to just put him in the lineup and see what he can do. Yeah.
Well, we've talked about this, and I guess we'll talk about it a little bit later. But I really, you know, the citizen is not my favorite player. And unfortunately, he's got seniority, so he's going to get. And I talked to a bunch of guys when I went to Jingu, and I talked to a bunch of dragons that day. But Viciedo at first base is just, I think he just has seniority, and he's hitting enough that he's going to stay in there. So it's just going to be Moya's going to have to scrounge for at bats until he can prove he can, you know, get a hit once every three at bats or so, and hit with some power. And once he does that, I think, yeah, I would love to see him at first base. And he is learning. I mean, I've watched obviously more Dragons games than you have, and I've seen him, and there was a play that he probably could have made had he been a more seasoned player. And you know, he's got that big frame anyway, that he just, you know, just wasn't used to the quick movements at first base and didn't have the footwork down and wasn't able to make the play. But I think once he gets better, I think he has the potential to do well. So, but yeah, not interested in playing in Nagoya Stadium. So I hope he stays up. So let's transition and talk about the Dragons. The offense has really been middle of the pack, and the pitching has really been an issue. And overall, it's just consistency. And I actually talked to skipper Shigekazu Mori, and I talked to shortstop Yota Kyoda, and
I know,
yeah, it's a hard one to say. And let me say that I worked on a little bit of a project. I talked to the blogger for the Dragons, Dragon Soul, and I said, hey, listen, I'm going out to see the Dragons this week. Would you like me to ask a question, get some interviews, and then you can use the interviews and put them on your blog? And he said, sure. And so he threw me a couple questions, and he asked that I talk to a couple players, both of whom were too busy and I couldn't get to. So I talked to Kyoda because he was available, and I talked to Morty because he's my guy, and I hadn't seen him in a while anyway, so I wanted to talk to him. And anyone who remembers back in the day, if longtime listeners, I went out to do a story a long time ago about Masahiro Yamamoto, the lefty who was coming up on a record, some kind of record. I don't even remember what it was. And I had to talk to Morty, who was the pitching coach at the time. And I sit down to talk with him, and he says, where'd you get that Japanese ability? And he started interviewing me. He's like, well, where'd you live? And how long you been here? And how'd you study? And I'm like, dude, yeah, I've got an interview to do so I can get back to the office or get the story out before the game starts or whatever it was. But I didn't have time to be answering all these questions. I needed to be asking questions.
That's right. Get out of my face.
Well, no, stay in my face. Just answer my questions. But and so ever since then, we've been just like buddy-buddy. And so a lot of the Japanese reporters are so jealous about how when I go up to him, he just starts talking to me.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, I get that too with a couple of people I'm close to. I'm not close to many, but when I've gotten that from the beat writers, it's sort of like,
why
you? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's me? Like with those teams, it'd be like, if you break one little tiny rule, then your colleague, you know, your colleague from your paper or your wire service comes over and says, all the other reporters want to tell me that you're not allowed to do this. They get all nitpicky and what's the word I'm looking for? Petty.
Yes.
And by my experience, well, you might think the dragons, although in my past experience, I thought dragons beat writers were tended towards pettiness too, but the Hawks guys are also bad.
Yeah.
So anyway, enough vitriol for now.
I did talk to Morty, and that interview along with the Kyoda interview is on Dragon Soul's blog.
Oh, cool.
He's at Chunichi Soul. If you want to go there and click on his Twitter feed, and then he's got a link to the blog so you can read those interviews. But, you know, talk to Morty, and he just said, look, you know, we've got a situation where we can't score runs, and when we score the runs, we can't hold down the other team. And, you know, the classic signs of a bad team, basically, is what he said.
Yeah.
But the thing,
not enough offense and not enough defense.
Well, not when you need it. You know, you can't do one when you need the other, or you can't do the other when you need one. But, something like that. But anyway, the whole thing, even talking to him, and I know he jokes with me a lot, but he just seemed so comfortable with the whole situation. And it got me thinking later on. I thought, you know what? I've seen his demeanor in the dugout. I've been watching his decisions, and I know he's trying to develop these young players and give the pitchers a chance to work out of problems. And, you know, a guy in a situation where they're losing the kind of games they're losing would not have this werewolf in London perfect hair look. You know what I mean? Some of that hair be falling out or graying or something. But yeah, everything's perfect in perfect place with him, with the hair, and he's jovial. Well,
hey,
he's still happy.
You know, in the Daisuke Miura is retired now, and he can't, you know, when the guy's a player, you're in separate competition categories for hair. But now they're in the same. They're competing against each other. I mean, he ain't gonna lose some Miura.
Yeah, but
he's been doing this for like 40 years, dude.
Yeah, but yeah, Mori has about 30 years or so on Mr. Miura. But anyway, I just thought it just seemed to me that Mori is sitting and keeping that seat warm for Michihiro Ogasawara, who's the farm team manager, and he's being groomed. And it just seemed to me that he's having fun because this really doesn't count. This is just playtime for him. That's what it seemed to me. I don't know.
Well,
and I could be
that's
wrong.
That's been your working hypothesis now for about a year. So
a year plus.
Yeah, well, keep going with it until you find some evidence. No, I wouldn't go that far.
No, I know you weren't going that far.
No, but I mean, until there's some evidence to the contrary.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
You're more scientific than you let on.
Okay. Thank you. But this team, you know, it has problems everywhere. There are so many starting pitchers we've seen. The opening day starter, Shinnosuke Ogasawara, the guy I've always said has a name destined to be in the Hall of Fame. But so far, he has just been average. And I thought this year he would break out a little bit. And it just seems like he's still learning. But he throws, it used to be he would throw three good pitches and one bad one, and now he's up to four. He'll throw four good pitches and one bad one. And his mistakes get hit hard. He just gives up a lot of home runs and or hits that cost you games at certain times in the game. And Mori is fine. He's comfortable leaving him out there in late game situations to die. Yeah, we would call it the Norimoto effect.
Don't put him next to Steven Moya then, because Steven said, wait, don't do it. You got so much to live for.
You got so much to live for. Okay. The bullpen recently, Katsuki Matayoshi had been shipped out to the farm. They brought him back. He hasn't really been able to get anybody out. And you talk about having guys with the same look. He and Shinji Tajima have the same kind of approach with the sliders and the slurvy sinking action on their pitches. And someone asked me on Twitter earlier this season, might have been Costa Freak. He said, "What's up with these guys?" And I said, "Well, they're one trick ponies. They do the same thing, and so everyone knows what's coming, and they're just sitting on pitches, and it's a matter of if they hit them at someone or if they really get a hold of them or not. And it's hard for these guys. They don't trick anybody. There's no deception. There's no velocity that really is going to hamper people from hitting. You know, I could talk about the Dragons all night, so just stop me when you've heard enough. But
I enjoy this.
One of the other things Morty told me was he says we've got a bunch of elderly guys on our pitching staff, and he does. You look at Hitoki Iwase; he's the grand marshal of the parade of old guys, and Daisuke Yamai, who's actually been surprisingly really good since he has come up. And then you've got Daisuke Matsuzaka, you've got Katsuki Yoshimi, even Daisuke Subway, one of their better relievers, is going to be 31. So. That's just naming a few. It's just they just do not look good. And yet, I mean, they're the first team to lose 40 games in the Central League, and they're in last place. But they have as many wins as anybody else because they play in the dome and they haven't had any rainouts, and they've won a few games at home. So they're up there in wins with everybody. But they have more. They have so many more losses. So I saw a note. My great follow on Twitter, Aozora, gave out the relief ERAs for every team in June, and Chunichi was 11th with a 6.14 ERA, and at the bottom was Seibu with a 7.20 ERA. So that's how bad the relief situation has been. So Mori has nothing to do but be jovial and laugh it off, because if he didn't, he'd be crying all the time, I suppose. Mess up that
I
hair.
Guess. You can't. I think it's impenetrable. it's just impervious to danger.
Star Trek is looking for the formula for the stuff that he uses to shape that thing, so they can use that to protect the Enterprise, I suppose.
I know. Well, probably, yeah.
Gosh, more 70s references. Oh.
Well, we'll cut you some slack, Jack. Okay, yeah, I do enjoy watching the guys play. I see, the Dragons are sort of like, you've seen them before, but it's always a different version of the show. It's like I Love Lucy. Every game sort of looks the same. Oh, there's the guy gets the big hit is the guy who never hits. Right. And he's just come up from the farm. And his name's, identical. He's got like three teammates with the same last name. And and he hits like he's a 170 career hitter, but he's there on his first hero interview podium after the game. And then one of the regulars will get a hit once Hirata will be the hero or one of the pitchers. And then they'll go back to the faceless guy. It's like they have a casting, central casting or something. I have trouble keeping up with the Dragons. And it's not like the Hanshin Tigers where they're actually a team that's loaded. You get the feeling they have a lot of talent, but they just don't. They're sort of stuck with the Oryx Buffalo problem. They have talented players and don't know how to manage them.
Exactly.
And so it's like you think if you just took these guys and let them play, which is antithetical to the Hanshin Tigers way of doing things,
right?
Then they'd be pretty good. But instead, you got to bring them up and haze them and call it work. So, but the Dragons don't have that thing. I mean, they've got good guys on them. They typically have good minor league players that they don't know who are any good. And they got a bunch of guys on the farm on the first team who come and go, or guys who come and go between the two teams who really aren't any good at all, but keep coming and going because the coach remembers their name, I suspect.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so, at least, or maybe Viciado remembers their names. I don't remember. but my point is, it's weird watching the Dragons. I enjoy watching them more than I enjoy watching the Tigers, for the sense that they always feel like the underdogs.
Yep.
And I enjoy watching them play well and do things right. And the other thing I like about the Dragons is they're kind of old timey. They're very adventurous team on the bases, and they're also a very adventurous fielding teams. They try to go after the lead runners a lot. They get a lot of outs on the bases. They make a lot of outs on the bases. Their games tend to be more. Oh, I don't know, eventful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
and they don't have the home run hitters, so they need that stuff. So anyway, yeah, they're a little different. They're a little bit like, they're a little Flashback Friday kind of dead ball baseball kind of thingy.
Yeah.
I mean, you would like them to have Stephen Moya or Tyrone Woods, or maybe even Tuffy Rhodes will come out of retirement. I don't think that would help at this stage, but But yeah, well, no, they're fun to watch.
Yeah, and they've hit on these foreigners. I mean, Almonte is fantastic,
sure,
offensively, and Onelki Garcia, the lefty pitcher who had a bad day today, but that's going to happen once in a while. I think the Giants owed him one because he had beaten them the previous two times he faced them, so they were out to get him, I think, and they snuck up on him and got him. But that, those days happen anyway. But they've got players who could, if there's a lot of ifs going on. I don't know that it's mismanagement, but they have guys who are producing, but they just can't seem to produce with the bats on the same night. And then that, as we discussed, the pitching is just a car wreck or a train wreck or combination of a train running into a car.
Wow. Okay. Well, there's one thing, a couple of things I thought were interesting. You mentioned the manager, and I don't, and it's funny because I have this impression of, you know, Maury was a pitcher during the Cebu Lions. He was a pitcher during the Cebu Lions heyday. He was, you know, back in the day when no teams had closers. Closers didn't last very long. He went from middle relief to closing to starting occasionally. And, but he was, you know, he grew up in that era when the bunt was king. And interestingly enough, the Dragons are kind of like one of the teams that haven't stopped bunting because we know that's against the law in Japan.
Right. You can be arrested on the spot.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. Because they haven't stopped bunting, but what they have done is bunted less. In fact, the Chunichi Dragons now are on track to have a percentage of bunts per runner on first base.
Mm-hmm.
Their percentage of sacrifice bunts per runner on first base is poised to be the lowest since 1950.
Wow.
Now, 1950 is, as some of you know, was the year when Japanese baseball split into two leagues and expanded, and there were all kinds of weird parks, and they had a new small strike zone since 1949, and they had better balls that were cleaner and easier to hit. And the offense just exploded, and the managers responded by not bunting, which goes to show a couple of things. But anyway, the Dragons are on a pace, to historic low for them.
Yeah, I mean, in the talk that I had with Kyoda, he was talking about the fact that leading off, it's a little bit easier for him. He can swing a little bit more freely. He doesn't have to think too much. And batting second, there's a lot of things to consider. And that gets in his head, and so much to think about. He doesn't have a clear head in the batter's box. But he leads the team with 12 sacrifices, right? And you've got Yohei Oshima with only 8. And then it's hard to find anybody else with, you know, more than 2 on the team.
Yeah, they don't have this great, you know, the guy who comes up and who's really not a very good player, who's basically, it's so often a guy who's a good enough player to play every day.
Mm-hmm.
Or because the team has a hole, and he can bunt.
Right, but if you look at the construction of their lineup, though, those two guys are the only guys really qualified to be bunting because the other guys are mostly power hitters. Almonte's not going to bunt. Viciedo, help us all if he squares up. Fukuda not going to bunt. Maybe Hirata would bunt on occasion. But now you're getting into this in the lineup. He's usually batting maybe 5th or 6th or so, and then after that, there's the guys coming up there. You just want him to hit because they don't get many hits anyway, and the guys coming up after him aren't likely to get hits. So you're going to have them. You're not going to have them bunting, and then you got the pitcher spot. So they're not constructed to bunt.
Don't say that too loud. Yoshinobu Takahashi might be listening. The guy who bunts with a number of 8 hitters so his pitcher can hit.
Bunt with the leadoff man.
I know. It's sad but true.
So, yeah. They are struggling, and it looks like this is going to be another learning situation for them. But everything's so close in the Central League that if they can hang around, maybe they can make a push at the end if one of the pitchers gets hot. And I wanted to ask about Dylan G., mm-hmm. on Wednesday when I went out there, but I just never got the opportunity. So I didn't hear if he's coming back or not, but he really wasn't that effective for them. He looked to me like some of these other pitchers we've had come over and be first year successes over here, like Nick Martinez. He looked like that kind of mold where he throws a lot of pitches, but he just wasn't as effective as those other guys and wasn't having that kind of success. But maybe it was due to the injury. So hopefully he gets healthy and comes back. Let's make a four-seam transition and hit our power ranking segment called Mini Tracks. So we haven't done this. I wanted to get it so that we're coming out on the, you know, early in the month. And this is as about as straight on as we could do, hitting the last month here and then kicking into July. So obviously the Yakult Swallows are the team, the hottest team around.
Indeed they are.
They were. Yeah, had the best record in Interleague, and they stumbled out of the gate when they struggled against.
Yeah, they lost two.
Yeah, they struggled against the Giants, losing the first two, and they salvaged the last game in that series, coming back into league play after Interleague play. And then they gone back to being a really good team, and 15-8 in June. That's the best in NPB in terms of wins. The Marines, the Lotte Marines, 14-8 in June. Really good showing by them. And Mike Bolsinger today, our guest last week, he wins his ninth consecutive decision. He's the first 10-game winner. I can't believe how well he's pitching. That right there is amazing, because there are two guys. I think Takayuki Kishi of the Rakuten Eagles is also kind of shocking, because these guys are on teams that aren't doing that well in terms of win-loss record. But these guys have only lost one game or two games between them.
I mean, some of that is run support, but not a lot of it.
Yeah, because you're talking about a team that doesn't use it's under 500, doesn't usually score, especially the Eagles, but they've got one.
Well, in which case it's definitely run support, because if the Eagles gave their normal production for Kishi, he'd probably be 5-3 or something.
Well, I guess, yeah, I mean, you have to score some runs to win the game, but I don't think he's getting that many. He just happened to get a lot today, but he's usually 2-1, 3-2 battles.
Well, Bolsinger did get quite a lot. He went through a stretch where they were scoring about 7 or 8 runs a game for him.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, so that was that's kind of interesting. Yeah, I see that Swallows and the Marines are really they had a wonderful June. They probably are kind of sad to see it go Sunday morning. And the Eagles and the Bay Stars be thinking, man, we just can't. I mean, the Bay Stars are already like in July. The Eagles and the Bay Stars are both in like July mode already. they won their first two games of their month ending series, and against the car. In fact, they beat the first league leaders.
Yeah, yes.
In the first two games of their series to end the month. So yeah, go for it, guys. I'm enjoying this, and these two teams. Next week we're going to have an interview with Frank Herrmann of the Eagles, and we were talking about that, about how how last year the Eagles and the Bay Stars, the two third place teams, very nearly met in the Japan Series, and how much fun that would have been. I know the people who don't think that would have been a lot of fun.
we'll talk about those people. They're just
and we know no, but you know they love their teams, and you know, and sorry guy, but it is fun, and he points out that you know the season's there's still a long way to go. All the Eagles are far behind, and they have a huge a hole to dig out of, but yeah, they're digging.
It's just like everybody. I mean, they're on the operating table, and the doctors are yelling clear and shocking them. But you know, but seriously, but there's still a chance. There's still a chance. You know, you get a heartbeat.
they could conceivably finish third again.
It's true. I mean, they're so far behind in the loss column, or ahead in the loss column, depending on your perspective. But but nine wins is not that bad to make up to get to fourth. And then after that, you're talking SoftBank, which, I have to be honest, I'm really surprised that SoftBank is struggling the way it is. I thought because we talked about how much talent the team has and all the depth and all those things, if the time ever came for those players to have to step up, that they would, but they're just not. They're just struggling. And it looks strange to see them not be able to execute plays in some circumstances, or make plays, or have good at bats. They have some really poor at bats sometimes, and they're out there in the field not doing what we've seen them do normally with the ball in terms of getting out. So
it is weird. It is I think you're right about that. It is odd. Now, I haven't witnessed too much of that too many of those fielding shenanigans. But I have seen, I still see good at, I watch a couple of guys, and I watch Keizo Kawashima play. There was a wonderful game this past week in which the opposing manager says, well, I guess our pitcher just kind of ran out of steam. I think it was they were playing Oryx, and they ran out of steam, and all I could think of is the guy threw 114 pitches, and 22 of them were in 3 at-bats to Keizo Kawashima.
Wow.
I mean, the guy is just a wrecking crew. He didn't do a lot of damage in the game, but man, he was like going up there murdering the guy.
Yeah.
He did everything but plunge the knife into his back.
Right. But yeah, we had some great games this past week. In fact, Friday, I called it walk-off Friday. We had 3 teams, including the Hawks. And then the Bay Stars and Dragons, who all rallied. It wasn't like they were leading and the other team tied the score or anything. They were all losing, and they rallied back to win in walk-off games. And the 3-2 loss to the Hawks suffered to the Fighters. I think it was on Wednesday, and that was Yuto Mori couldn't really close it out and had problems with that situation. That probably was a Sarfate situation where you can point to it and say, well, if Dennis were here, that would be different. But a lot of the games that they're losing, we had Seiichi Uchikawa, who was out with an injury for a while, and he came back up and he was only slightly productive. And we've seen Alfredo Despaigne. He's powering in the heart of the order, but he's not hitting for a high average. And Yuki Yanagita is doing good things, but I'm not sure I agree with his spot in the lineup. If other guys are not on, you might as well get him up there as many times as you can. So it just looks weird. The whole team just seems to be discombobulated at the moment. But we know that these teams have ups and downs. That's why we do these power rankings, right?
To see who's going up. Yeah, we like the ups and downs. I mean, it's part of the fun.
But most of the teams right now are just, basically everybody had, around a 10 or 11 win month. So there wasn't much change in there. But the Swallows and the Marines did really well. And I just want to, like I said, I keep saying, I'm interested to see how long they can keep it going. And if Mike Bolsinger starts every day. The Marines might not lose that many games the rest of the way. But
His arm might be, you might be able to buy bits of his arm on eBay or something.
Right. Anyway, yeah, hopefully he'll be okay. And I suspect that they will shorten the rotation, though, in the second half if they are in a precarious spot and they see that they need to get a few more wins to get into the playoffs. I think we'll see him more than once a week, but let's keep an eye on that. Making a two-seam transition, you wanted to continue our discussion on the home runs that we had from last week. And I can only tell you what I've seen since we talked about the length on the fly balls. And I've seen some pretty little guys who are light hitting players who've been around, kicked around for a while, but have never really. I've seen guys hitting their first home runs. I've seen them hitting home run number 4 or 5 in an 8-year career. And they've been opposite field shots. And they've been opposite field shots to the power alley. So I'm really seeing the ball fly here. What did you find this past week when you were looking through your numbers?
Last time I looked at how the parks were affecting, how the performance was affected by the park. But, one of the problems, when you say, home runs are up, 30% at Tokyo Dome this year, is you it leaves out the sort of the human component. You know, are the pitchers or batters radically different? Mm-hmm. And so I thought, if we look at the individuals, you know, guys who were playing a bunch at the beginning of last year and they're playing a bunch at the beginning of this year, because I want to keep the season aspect, because more runs are scored in the summertime.
Okay.
Than in the spring. So I wanted to keep those consistent.
Right, with the warm weather.
And with the ballpark as well.
Okay.
So, especially with pitchers. I think with hitters less so, but with pitchers more so, because, you know, you could be a pitcher at Jingu, but somehow your rotation, you know, you skip a start when you're at home, and you end up with starts at Koshien and Nagoya Dome, or, you know, Sapporo Dome and Interleague, and you're kind of like, you miss all those run scoring opportunities for your opponents.
Right.
So anyway, so I looked at pitchers who had pitched a lot and hitters who had hit a lot in their home parks. And I'll tell you what I found is that, well, first of all, the interesting thing is, I was reminded of this, is that if you took all the pitchers of this group of pitchers who had 99 batters faced in their home park through this point last year and 99 batters faced in their home park through this year.
Okay.
And looked at the guys who were giving up. See, I was interested in if the guys were having more of a ground ball or fly ball tendency. You know, because if the guys were, because that affects it. Now, basically, as I was talking with John before the game, in the majors, it's fairly common now. I think people realize that, with the exception of a few extreme ground ball pitchers, uh-huh. ground ball pitchers tend to give up a lot of home runs.
And that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it's counterintuitive.
It's counterintuitive, but it tends to be true. And just for, I mentioned the players. I'll just I looked at pitchers in their home parks, and I found in the whole group there were 21 pitchers, and the guys who had more, who became more fly ball pitchers this year,
mm-hmm.
they gave up, their home run count is actually down overall.
Okay, somehow.
Right, right. So they gave up their percentage of fly ball outs compared to ground ball outs increased, these 10 pitchers increased by 25%, but their home runs decreased by 3%.
Hmm.
Whereas if you take the guys who are getting more ground ball outs than they were last year, the 11 guys in the study, their home runs, their fly balls decreased by about 13%, fly ball outs. Their home runs increased by about 44% this year.
44?
Yep.
Good grief. And
as a group, as a whole.
Right, okay. And the physics that you were explaining to me before we started taping were that...
Okay, basically... ground ball pitchers try to hit, well, of course, one, keep the ball down, and use more, try to get the guys to hit more breaking balls, balls that are dropping more.
Okay.
So that they hit on top of the ball, hit it into the ground, get ground outs.
Right.
Okay. The problem with that is when these pitches miss up enough of the zone and they come into a contact with a guy who's uppercutting a little bit, the upward bat angle is a nice match for the steeper downward plane on the ball.
Okay.
And it's easier to square up. That's one theory, one way of looking at it. So basically that's the way it works for pitchers. Batters, it's the other way around. Batters who hit a lot of balls on the ground, who make a lot of ground outs, they don't hit a lot of home runs.
Until this year.
I mean, there are guys. I mean, Yuki Inagita's always been a little bit like that. Shohei Ohtani is one of these guys who hits a lot of ground balls, but still has some pop. I mean, they just hit the ball so gosh darn hard that when they get it in the air, the thing doesn't stop.
Right.
It doesn't come down. But anyway, so I found out essentially that these guys who are hitting the ball, the guys who are hitting the ball more in the air this year than they did last year, they're increasing their home runs by about 16%.
That's across the board, everybody, or just guys who have been?
Guys who, you know, in their home parks, who in last part of the, in the same part of the season last year.
But these are guys who are, these are players who normally hit a lot of ground balls?
These are guys who increased their fly ball, their number of fly ball outs.
Okay.
They're hitting more balls in the air than they did last year.
Wow.
I mean, some of them went, you know, some of them decreased, but the group increased by 16%. Whereas the guys who are hitting more ground ball outs are hitting about 15% fewer home runs this year.
Yeah, I just, you know, I've just seen some swings and some balls. There was one today, I think, I don't know if you watched the Lions game or not, but Shogo Saito of the Lions, he made the last out of that game and he hit a ball down the left field line, batting left-handed, and they had, you know, they had to review it to see if it, I think they had to,
right,
to
I see saw
if,
that
if it was a home run or not. And off the bat, I'm thinking, well, that's a little twisty foul pop-up thing. I wonder if it's even going to stay fair. And
yeah,
they're looking to see if it's a home run or not. And so I thought that that's the kind of thing that has been catching my eye. Little skinny slap hitting guys like that who have hit opposite field shots. And that's what has caught my attention. And there have been other home runs that just looked off the bat that they didn't look like they were going to travel that far. And I've heard the announcers say, really, the ball's really carrying today. And I'm like, the ball's been carrying all season, man. What are you watching?
Well, of all the, well, just, you know, just looking at all the batters, just comparing their home parks,
mm-hmm.
home, you know, ground ball hitter, fly ball hitter, home runs are up. And these guys who played this year and last year, by 22%,
uh-huh.
which is higher than the league average, but
22.
There's a slight increase in the guys, a few more fly balls than before. Fly ball batters are increasing, so I think more guys are trying to generate, or the current batters are trying to generate more launch angle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you compare both of the leagues, I'm sorry this is so long and dull, but if you compare the league to NPB 2017 to 2018, through this point last year, we have 150 fewer plate appearances, but home runs are flying out at 14% more often. Fly balls are up, as the previous one mentioned, about 2%. Fly ball outs. The percentage of fly ball outs to ground as a number of outs is increasing a little bit, but the home runs are flying. And here's the other one. As I mentioned earlier about the Dragons, this fits in. Sacrifice bunts are way down.
Way down. Well, yeah, like I said, I see. I think the balls are a little, I wouldn't say juice, but they are a little bit more juicier than normal.
Juicy.
All right. One note, Norichika Aoki of the Swallows got hit in the head. He was the second Swallows player who really took a hard pitch off the head in June. And the other one was Yuhei Nakamura against the Lions. Fabio mm-hmm. Castillo hit him earlier in June. And so, but it looks like he's okay. They said he was talking and walking around afterward, but he went to the hospital just in case. But that was today on Saturday, and I think he's going to be okay. So hopefully no worries. Let's go to fielding questions. All right, so on Twitter, we got a note, and it was very coincidental that we had talked about and joked about this home run that was a home run that wasn't a home run that wasn't a home run after review and a second review on the day after by the league or whatever. I don't even know. I really couldn't keep up. I'm like, you know, replays should be, you know, smart and final. And this one wasn't smart and it wasn't final. And so,
well, it's final now because they decided that we're not gonna do anything about it.
Right. So we joked about it at the end of the last show, and then on Twitter. Yo, and this, I'm guessing at this kanji, it's Igo Ryu, mm-hmm. also known as Hanzo Hattori, who's a really famous ninja, as I recall, from my studying mm-hmm. Japanese long, long ago, decades ago. And he said, or he or she, but I have to assume it's a he, please talk about this shameful decision in your podcast. As a Buffaloes fan, I think it's disgraceful that an umpire can't see a simple thing in a video replay. They should replay the game from that point, as the race for third place is very close. #high heat. And it's just a comment, so it's not a question. So Like I said, we joked about it. This was a June 22nd game. It ended up being a 5-3 win for the Hawks over the Orcs Buffaloes in 10 innings at Hotto Motto Stadium, one of the Buffaloes' regular home stadiums, but not the main one. But now I heard on the news that they cannot replay the game because that's in the rule book that they don't replay games, especially from that point.
NPB don't play that.
They don't play that, homie. So that's not really possible. But and I know it hurts and it's stinging, but I don't think it's shameful, because I looked at that and it was funny because Jim and I did talk about this before we started recording last week. And from what I saw on the video, the ball disappeared from view. And when that happens from the camera angle that you see, you have to assume that that's because the ball went to the left of the foul pole, because since this was a home run down the right field line, it went to the left of the foul pole so that it was fair. And I believe that that's what the umpires made their decision on. But you said it was a technological issue.
Yeah, it was the frame. Basically, they didn't have – the ball was out of the video. And for some reason, the frames were skewed or something, and that they looked at the same video more carefully over and over and over 20 minutes, and they said, ah, here it is. We found the ball. But I think it was a case of where in between frames is when the ball passed behind the, you know, in front of the foul pole.
In between frames, yeah. They say it's a game of inches. It also is a game of frames.
Indeed.
When we're playing this review game, yeah.
Indeed. So anyway, it was a case of they basically used a minimum. They said because we can't see the ball, we have to assume it's someplace else.
It's visiting friends? What do you mean someplace else?
Well, as in on the other side of the foul pole.
Right, right.
But what they really needed to do was to see the ball actually, you know, more clearly. And so they violated the rule, which is if you don't really know, if you've got to spend 10 minutes looking at it, you know what? You don't really know.
Yeah, don't overturn it.
Exactly. I mean, that's my point. I ranted about this on Twitter a fair amount. I love the replay system. And to be fair, I think they've really done a great job, because I swear, I mean, these, you know, two calls are overturned in every game. About.
I wouldn't. Well, is that official? Because I don't think that's the case. But I think
it seems like it.
Yeah, it just seems that everyone's the managers are very liberal at using the rule. So I would say four reviews are made, but I would say maybe one is overturned every game, but not two.
Well,
I mean, because
I watch a lot.
I don't see two.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hear what you're saying. There are a lot of reviews. People are not hesitating.
I'm going, geez, that guy's not out. Oh, sure enough. You know, I mean, I understand, you know, so many of these are ones where, you know, because the umpire has to be in a bad angle because they're throws to the bases from the outfield.
Right.
Or from the opposite direction. They're not throws to first where the umpire set up to make an easy call relatively. But those ones are hard, you know, on stolen bases. Oh, and the umpire's standing behind him. How can he tell where the glove is? Oh, he can't, but he's got to make a call. You know, a lot of those are overturned. But the ones that get me are the ones where the umpire's there and he just, oh, you know, it's just too fast for him. It is just too fast. And I don't mean to diminish the umpire's abilities, but it is sometimes it's just too fast for him. And the replay allows them to get it right. So, yeah, go for it. And if you don't have the evidence, then you don't have the evidence. And, you know, the umps have been good enough for 50 or 60 years. You know, they're there for a reason.
Right. So I know it hurts, but there are many reasons that games are lost throughout the season. You have bad player decisions, bad managerial decisions, bad execution, and bad umpiring decisions. It's part of the game. And this is just one mistake to me. It's not, you know, it's just one bad call, and it's just like a bad strike call. It could be as bad as strike one or strike three. And the umpires down the line, I've been saying for years that these guys are asleep with two strikes, and you know, pitcher's going to throw a ball in the dirt. and try to get a guy on a check swing, and they just fall asleep, and they don't notice, and someone their pew play comes, and they're like out or safe, he didn't swing, you know, they're just guessing sometimes, it seems. So, but those are just as egregious. Okay, they count the same because they all impact the game, and it occurs nightly. You know, it's
We're angry about these because like this and like the home run that cost the Carp a win 3 years ago.
Yes. Well, that was different because that was at the end of the season. There wasn't time.
Well, no, it was in the second half, but it wasn't at the end.
Oh, I remember.
It was in August or something. People talked about it at the end of the season because they finished percentage points behind the Tigers, and that win over the Tigers, that tie game over the Tigers, would have sent the Carp to the playoffs for the third straight year. But
right.
But people remember it because that's where the umpire said, "Oh, we made a mistake."
Right.
Right. But if the guy says, "Oh, it's strike three and I blew that call," well, everybody, it's not on video. It's not being replayed on TV the next day.
And
people forget about
that. Right.
Those.
That was going to be my point, is that it feels different because we're watching it. We've seen the replays over and over. They have this replay system in to get the calls right. And they didn't seem to be able to figure out how to get it right. So it stings. It stings really bad. But I still think there's so much time to make up for it in 70 plus games the rest of the way, that it's unfortunate, but I don't think it's shameful, and it happens, and umpires make a lot of mistakes, and they're going to continue making mistakes. You have to play through it. The bad things happen or don't go in as planned all the time, and these players, all they do is go through it. I think if we ask the players in a month or so, they'll think, well, you know, we just have to focus and try to beat them the next time we play them and not worry about it. But the, you know, Oryx Buffaloes have been playing some fairly decent baseball in June and parts of May and into June. So they're moving up and looking better. So I'm not so much worried about that one particular game. That one replay is not going to come down. This is the other thing. I don't think the game of baseball or some of these sports, like even football, is had in mind slowing the action down to 1/100th of a second to check and see if something was fair or foul or in or out or something like that. That kind of thing gets on my nerves. Let the game, you know, guys make mistakes all the time, so they're going to happen. Just keep playing, you know, play through it, play through it. We don't need to slow the game down to...
Well,
that's why
like,
that missing frame is being talked about, because you're slowing the game down too much. The ball disappears.
Well, of course, you know, it could be like soccer, in which the player, which part of the game is fooling the umpires into making the wrong decision.
Oh yeah, that's working out.
Yeah, like I said, I love the video referees for that. He's just like, "What do you mean I didn't dive? He touched me, and then 45 seconds, I keeled over forward. He touched me."
Yes.
It was a delayed reaction.
I was shocked.
That's right. It was a mental anguish.
Did you see that fingernail? It nearly took my head off. Yeah, I think I tweeted out, I think the Hollywood Academy of Performing Arts is going to have to attend the World Cup, because they're going to have to hand out some awards.
I know. Let's see this replay again, Chuck.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. I'll call you Hattori-san because I don't know what to go with. But thank you very much for the note. And anyone else who has a note or a question, hit us up on Twitter at JBW Podcast with the hashtag High Heat. Send questions via email to yakyujohn@gmail.com or hit us up on the Facebook page. We will talk to you guys next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See you at the ballpark, and I promise not to talk about home runs.